message.
Amen.
All right, if you've got your Bible, go back with me to the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. And I thank the Lord for the good singing, all the preaching we've heard. I thank God for it. I told them boys when Brother Joe got to preaching last night, I thought, man, I just thought I preached. I guess I just testified before he got to preach. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing like being put in your place, praise God. Amen. I felt like a T-baller right before Hank Aaron took off. Amen. Praise God, I'm in the game. Amen. Thank the Lord for it, boy. Aren't you glad there's still some dew? Amen. Praise God. I'm glad we can still touch the hem of his garment. Amen. Put my feet on solid rock. Ain't never seen anybody sink through a rock. Old Brother Wood preached on that this morning. I guarantee we're on solid ground. I thank the Lord for it. 1 John chapter number 3, and you pray for us. Let's stand together. We'll read just a few verses of Scripture, and I'll try just to testify a little bit more tonight. Maybe one day I'll grow up one of my, Brother Marvin Wheeler, an older preacher in my, when I first started pastoring. I'm glad I had patient people when I started pastoring. I was just 28 years old, and I thought I had a lot more answers at 28 than I do at almost 42. Got a whole lot less answers at 42 and a whole lot more questions. I tell you what, I find myself a lot of times I don't even know the right question to ask. But can I tell you what, when we don't have answers, I'm glad there's anchors, praise God. We don't live as a child of God on answers, but I'm glad there is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth in within the veil, and I praise God for it. But he used to come up to me, I'd preach my guts out, and he'd come up, hit me with his cane, and said, "You just keep trying. You may make a preacher yet." Amen. And I wish, I still think I'm a trying, so you pray for me. 1 John chapter number 3, the Bible said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." I still think we ought to just take time out and shout 15 minutes on that right there. I would be going to hell if it wasn't for the love of God. It is the love of God that spurs his movement toward the sinner. And I thank the Lord for it. I tell you what, the world wouldn't go around if it wasn't for love. I tell you what, a father's love and a mother's love and a brother's love and a friend's love. I thank God for the love, but there's no love like the love. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. If the sky were parchment made and the ink with the ocean filled, hey, we couldn't tell the love of God. Amen. I tell you, we've not scratched the surface. The greatest theologian you've ever read after has not scratched the surface about what the love of God is. But I'm glad I don't have to be able to explain it to experience it, praise God. And I'm grateful as a 13-year-old boy, I'm glad the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I'm still rejoicing. I'm glad I don't have to get over it. Of 1 John, he wrote to them children, the Bible said, because their sins were forgiven. And then he wrote to the young men because they had overcome. And then he wrote to the older men. Can I tell you, I've met a lot of people that I think they've forgotten that their sins had been forgiven. I don't want to get so far in the faith that I can't rejoice in the fact that my sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. They've been cast into the depths of the sea. And they'll never be remembered. I used to sing that little song as a child. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore from the book of life. They've all been torn out, thank God, friend. When the accuser of the brethren made an appearance today, God the Father looked and an advocate stepped up. The advocate didn't have to say a word. All he did was took his hands out and the scars. It said, praise God. It wasn't scars. Scars, friend. The Bible said, what are those wounds in thy hands? And I'm glad today of the wounds of the riven side and the wounds of the hands of the Son of God spoke for me. And he said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. I thank God I'm as saved as the Son of God is tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd take a lap if I wouldn't. Oh, praise God. Amen, friend. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad I'm still like it. Amen. He said, behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved now. Oh, Brother Mays used to say, beloved. I'm glad I'm accepted in the beloved. Amen. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You can be seated. Keep your Bible open. We're going to look back into these verses tonight. But again, my text is verse number 3. And the Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I said last night, the epistles of John were the very last books, according to men that are smarter than I, that the Holy Ghost penned before he closed the book on inspiration of the Word of God. And listen, I said he wrote the book of John. He wrote the book of John to convince sinners. And thank God, I'm glad for the day that the Spirit of God came to where I was and convinced me of my need of a Savior. But he made some promises to me what the Lord would do in my life if I would repent of my sin and trust Christ. And can I say he's held to his word? That old song said he'll do what he said he would do. And I'm glad he's still convincing sinners. Don't you believe the lie that God's not saving anymore? Honey, the Bible said in the book of Revelation that there's a door of evangelism. He said, I've opened a door that no man can shut. And may I say, there's a lot of people trying to make it narrow. There's a lot of people trying to shut it. Honey, but man can't shut a door that God's opened. And I'm glad you and I, men of God, can stand and preach without apology and preach without any fear that God will still save a lost man, a woman, boy, or girl. I'm glad red and yellow, black or white, they're still precious in his sight. I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God is still in the business of convincing sinners that they're on their way to hell. But I'm glad, thank God, that's where not the law drops us off. And Bible said it's the law sin. God forbid, because I'd have not known sin had it not been for the law. But can I tell you that near kinsman in Ruth chapter number 4, he said, I can't redeem her. I can't do it. It'll mar my inheritance. And listen, old Boaz said, take his shoe off and just testify to me and testify to the rest of the world that you can't. But honey, Boaz said, as soon as you say you can't, I'm going to stand and say I can. And I believe old Ruth kept that shoe for many, many years. And them old grandchildren say, Mama, what's that shoe all about? And she'd say, one day I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm not asking permission to get in the field. But honey, I'm living in the house. I'm glad God still is convincing sinners that they can be saved by the grace of God. He wrote the book of Revelation to comfort the saints. And I say to you, I'm glad. I tell you what, go place. I preached in one place one night, preached out of the book of Revelation. A man came to me. He said, preacher, it's been since 1968 that anybody's taken a text in the book of the Revelation. I've heard people say, you better stay out of that book. You ain't going to understand that book. I read it. I believe it said there's a blessing for reading it. I didn't see where it said there was a blessing for understanding it. But can I tell you what I do understand? That at the end of the book, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost are in control. The Son of God is sitting upon the throne. And brother, it's going to be wonderful when we get there. Amen. I may have told this last year. I don't know, Brother Jordan. I've said so many things some places. I preached everything I know at our place, and a lot of things I ain't sure about. Y'all pray for me. I was standing on the top of the Mount of Olives looking down that Kidron Valley. And one of my deacons was standing there with me, and this man looked at me with a scowl on his face, and he said, are you an American? And I said, by the grace of God, I'm an American. And then he looked at me, and just made him mad. Brother Jordan looked at me and said, well, are you a Christian? And I said, by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. And boy, that just made him the madder. He slammed his camera in the back of his little Isuzu Trooper, and he said, well, He said, let me tell you something. He said, one day Muhammad will rule the world from the point over at that dome of the rock temple. He said, one day Muhammad will rule the world from the top of that mountain. And neighbor, for just a moment, I forgot that I was not in North Georgia. And I looked at that little man. I thought, dear God, son, you're not near big enough to talk to me like that. Amen. I've been over where I could get in his eye. I said, son, let me say a word to you. I said, when you and Muhammad are burning in the charred walls of the damned, I said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to walk off this mountain. He's going to walk through that Kidron Valley. He's going to quote Psalm 24 and said, lift your head, O ye gates, for the King is coming in. I'm glad, blessed be God, I'm going to be there in that hour. I'm glad, thank God, I'm comforted by the book of the Revelation. There is a better day of coming, amen. Y'all pray for him. Brother Tom said it was a lot less energy to stand behind there. Pray for me, Brother Tom. I ain't figured that out yet. Amen. He wrote the book of the Revelation to comfort the saints. But then he wrote the epistles of John to confirm the servants. And I tell you what, I'm glad God had a word for us in this last hour. I'm telling you what, I'm glad we don't have to feel like we're in a termite and a yo-yo wondering what's going on, but I'm glad God had some things to say to you and I to confirm our hearts. Can I tell you, there is a hope inside of my soul tonight. Brother Wood quoted this morning, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And can I say, thank God, I'm glad when I got born again, hope kicked despair out, hope kicked shame out, hope kicked my guilt out, hope kicked the strong man out and planted its roots in my life, and it's been there ever since. I'm glad, child of God, there is whispering hope for the child of God tonight. Not everybody's living in hope. People are wandering today all over the world. They're looking for it in money. They're looking for it in women. They're looking for it in booze. They're doing everything they can. A lot of people are living lives of quiet desperation. But can I tell you, if they ever meet the hope that you and I have been able to enjoy, neighbor, their life will never be the same. Sinners live somewhere in limbo between mystery and misery. I mean, they don't know whether they're coming or going. They don't know what they can put their hope in. But can I tell you, 28 years ago, an old leather long man of God, black rimmed glasses with that white hair with purple lips, began to preach and throw that crippled arm across that. And brother, when he preached that we were going to hell, I thought I was going that day, friend. I thought there was a bus waiting at the door. But one day hope walked into my pew and said, you don't have to go. You don't have to spend eternity in hell. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ. I read early 1900s there was a submarine that had been hit by a Coast Guard cutter that had got into the area wherever that submarine was doing maneuvers, and that Coast Guard cutter ran into that submarine. That submarine sank, and all those sailors were in that submarine, and the rescue effort had been put aside because of the gale force winds. One of them Navy SEAL divers dove into that water in his suit, and he took a ball peen hammer with him. He said he got down there to that submarine and found that there were 6 out of the 42 Mare submariners that had got trapped in the torpedo bay. And he got up onto that submarine and was trying to tap with that hammer Morse code to them. 62 hours after that a tragedy had happened, they still had been unable to get that submarine to the top of the water. And that Navy diver got on top of that submarine and listened to that Morse code. Those trapped submariners were more sending that Morse code, and the message was this: is there any hope? Is there any hope? No answer came back, and that Navy SEAL was trying to encourage him, but he didn't want to lie to him. And finally, the last communication from those submariners in that submarine, they tapped back and said, we understand. And those men died in that grave. You say, Brother Mark, what has God called you to do? I tell you what he's called me to do. He's given me a ball peen hammer. And listen to me, there's men, women, boys, and girls that are drowning in the sea of sin. And you say, what are you doing when they send out that message?
is their hope. I'm glad that I can take the old gospel hammer and tap back on the submarine and tell them there still is hope. I'm glad, friend, listen to me. You say, I'm bound. I'm a dope head. Oh, listen, preacher, I've got this in my family or that in my family. How can I tell you there's not a problem if you're bitter, if you're bound, if you're busted, if you're broke, whatever you might be. I'm glad, thank God, there's hope for you today. God help us, men of God, to stand behind a pulpit and thunder it aloud. Come to you, come unto me, 44. In that red book said, hear the blessed Savior calling you today. Come you heavy laden. I'll tell you what, praise God, friend. I'm convinced tonight, as I've ever been, there still is hope.
There's hope for our sin. That Bible said when we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and we were without God, without hope. But it said in Ephesians, it said, but now in Christ Jesus. Brother Tom said this morning, Fanny Crosby got so close to that cross, it wasn't near the cross, she got in the cross. And can I tell you tonight, praise God, that Bible said, but now in Christ Jesus, who you were sometimes for afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm glad the blood is still there. I'm glad the blood is still sufficient. I'm glad, thank God, it is still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. I'm glad there's hope for our sin. There's hope for our service. It said in old Habakkuk, he said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, and in wrath, in the years make known, midst of the years make known, in wrath, remember mercy. Now, if you don't believe we can have revival, just leave me alone. Don't come talk to me. Don't come quote somebody you read after that says revival's over with. Hey, we may not have a national revival, and we may not have a worldwide revival, but if you don't think we have a revival, please don't drive to Pickens, South Carolina, and tell them 110 people got saved about 5 years ago in about a 9-week meeting that you can't have revival. If you don't think we can have revival, please don't go to Roanoke, Alabama, where I got to spend 5 weeks and 144 people walked the aisle. You say, well, you're preaching it easy. In Roanoke, Alabama, I preached 5 straight weeks on the judgment of God in hell. Can I tell you, it still works, friend. Listen, I believe God's people can still have a Holy Ghost move of God. Yes, he said we can rest in the day of trouble. And listen to me, thank God for the 52 years. Thank God for all the heritage that's gone by. But can I tell you, the same God that the men cranked his camp meeting up, it's still the God that's available to you and I. I know it's a different day. I know it's a different hour. But thank God that Bible's the same and the Lord's the same and there's hope for the service at God's called us to do. There's hope. Brother Tom, I'm going to get into one of your texts real quickly. Mark chapter number 6. That's another one of them be a good cheers. He walked out there on that water in that fourth watch of the night and said, be a good cheer. Can I tell you what, in that storm, the Bible said they saw him come walking on the storm and they were as afraid of the Lord as they were the storm. That's what's wrong with a lot of us. We've got in the storm, and we're as scared the Lord's showing up as we are the storm. Amen, friend. Hey, but can I tell you what? The Bible said in Mark 6 that he put them in that boat. He commanded them. He put them in the boat and said, go to the other side. Listen, I tell you what, 28 years ago, he put me in a boat, praise God. And the old ship of Zion, she's sitting low in the water. It ain't going to be long till we're pulling out of here. But he put them in that boat, sent them to the other side. And that Bible said he went apart to pray. And in the fourth watch of the night, he saw them toiling and rowing. And he came to where they are. I thought, dear God in heaven, what a picture of the hour that we're living in. I mean, he's put us in a boat. What a picture of the coming of Christ. He's put us in a boat, sending us to the other side. And now he's going apart to pray. He's never living to make intercession for you and I. But brother, in the fourth watch of the night, we don't think we can go anymore. Honey, listen, the darkness is not going to keep him away. And the distance is not going to keep him away. But right when we think we're going to go down, honey, the Lord's going to come and rescue us out of here. I'm glad there's not only hope but for my sin and hope for my service. But thank God Almighty, I'm glad there's hope for my sailing. One day we're checking out of here and we're going to sail on home. We're going to sail on home. I said last night, you say, where do you get this? Come here and help me, young man. Get on that altar, pray like you're going to pray. Lay your head up here on this step, top step. Now, when I was a boy, Brother Edgar never got in the altar with anybody. But when it got time to pray for somebody, he'd always get down. And he'd lay down on his belly. And he'd lay his head right up against our heads. And he'd put his lips right up against our ears. And he'd go to praying and talking to us and whispering things to me that even the person beside me couldn't hear. And neighbor, when I got to thinking of that whispering hope, I thought of how many, oh God, hallelujah. Oh, I got to thinking about the times that he crawled in an altar with me and began to whisper some things to me. It wasn't between me and the person beside me. It wasn't between me and my parents, but it was between me and him. And can I tell you, it's been as real to me. But when I've gotten that secret place and shut the door, honey, it wasn't a, listen, it wasn't a cripple-handed man of God, but it was none other than the Holy God of heaven that came to where I was. It wasn't the lips of a mortal man, but it was the lips of the Holy Ghost that began to whisper some things in my heart. And may I say, he'll do it for you tonight. Thank you, son. Whispering hope. He whispers to me about who I am. That's what I said last night. Aren't you glad we're a child of God? We're a joint heir, praise God. You say, how you know you're a joint heir? Honey, I'm the brother of the Son of God, praise God. How you know you in? He's my brother, my savior. He's my friend, all wrapped up into one. And he ain't got no problem being all that at one time, praise God. Amen. Can I tell you what? Listen, I said last night, there's some folks that think we've got to wait till the end to figure out if we're in or not. What a sad way to live. Honey, can I tell you something? Hey, I don't find anywhere in the Bible anybody ever got lost. Can I tell you, I broke my dad's heart, and there's times he's had to whoop me and correct me, and there was times that fellowship has been broken, but never one time did he ever come into the house and say, son, you're going to have to drop your last name. You're not in the family anymore. I want to say praise God. I'm not waiting to be a child of God. I'm not hoping to be a child of God. I'm not waiting to see if I'm going to be a child of God. But right here, right now in the Taylorsville Baptist camp meeting, I am a son of God. And thank God he whispers to me about who I am. Listen to me. That Bible said in Matthew chapter number 6, he said, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they gather in the barns, but your Father feedeth them, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Somebody please find me a farmer that feeds the chickens and starves his children. Hey, the Bible said, I'm old. I was young and I'm old. And I don't see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Can I tell you, God, the Holy Ghost, by his word, he bound himself to his word and he's obligated himself to take care and meet the needs of a child of God. I don't know about you, but I don't serve a dead peasant in the grave. But I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. And thank God he is able to take care of us. Let me ask you something. Would you rather have a father who's got a warehouse of bread, or would you rather have a father who owns a bakery? Hey, you go ahead and take the warehouse and have it. I'll take the daddy who owns the bakery, praise God. Hey, your bread may get stale. Your bread may get diminished. But can I tell you, as long as my father owns the bakery, there'll always be fresh bread on the table. But thank God he takes care of his children. You say, how do we know we can be saved? Because we got a present tense God. We are now. I'm glad we got a present tense God. Moses got arrested out there on the backside of the desert at that burning bush, and he said, I am the God of thy father Abraham, the father of thy brother Jacob. He said, I'm the God of the past. And thank God he is. But that wasn't enough when old Moses got ready to go over and talk to him. He said, now, Lord, I'm going to need a little bit more than that. He said, who am I going to tell him sent me? He said, Moses, you just run on down there and tell him I am that I am. Just run on in there and tell him. He was saying, hey, I was not just the God of the past. I'm the God. I am that I am. Amen. You say, what is he? He's anything you need and more of it. Praise God. He is more than enough but to make the blind man to see. I thank God he is a present tense God. But after that, he got on the way over there. And he said, well, Let me just show you, I'm not just a past tense God and a present tense God. He said, but look, when you get over there and preach to him, he ain't going to let you go because of his hard heart. He said, so let me just say, I'm not just a past tense and I'm not just a present tense. He said, but I'm a future tense God too. Hallelujah. I like the way you said it when I was a younger man. Amen. You said, he's God where I was, he's God where I am, and he's God where I'm going. Praise God. I'm glad I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Amen. Verse 1, he said, I know who I am. I'm trying to get to verse 2. He said, not only in verse 1, he whispers to me about who I am. But verse 2, I want you to look. He whispers to me about what I will be. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. That old song I used to sing as a boy, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Can I tell you something? This ain't the only world we're going to live in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that? By looking, let me just give it. I'm going to quit. Let me give it to you quickly. I want you to notice in your Bible, aren't you glad the love of God don't stop when this life runs out? I'm glad he's loved us with an everlasting love. He said, he told Israel, he said, I didn't love you because you were the greatest in number. He said, matter of fact, you the smallest. But the next verse said, he said, I loved you. Then the next verse said, because I loved you. Can I say, praise God, he loved me. It was an act of the will of God. He chose to love us. And I bless his holy name, friend. I thank God his love's going to carry us through. Amen. It's a hidden mystery. Look at verse 2. It doth not yet appear. What's a different backdrop to now and not? I don't know about you, but I'll be honest with you, I'm a pushover daddy most of the time. I'm pretty hard on my boys. But when I'm gone, there's a little place. Where is that store I like to go to, Brother Joe? That hardware store. Where's it at? 67 Hardware in Boonville, North Carolina. They got as many case knives as the place in Pigeon Forge. And I'll go in there and I'll get them boys a case knife. You say, why do them boys like case knives? Because their grandfather likes case knives. And they got one, they can wear it about one a month, one every day of the month, just about it. And I'll call them and I'll say, boys, I got you something. And they'll say, Daddy, what is it? And I say, you have to wait till I get home. Daddy, please tell us. And I said, nah, you're going to have to wait. Can we wear it, Daddy? Is it something that goes on the four-wheelers? Daddy, did you get us some bullets for the gun? Daddy, did you buy us a new gun? You say, you buy your boys good. I'm raising boys. Say amen, friend. Hey, I'm raising my boys to be able to take care of their homes. Say amen right there. I'm not raising bullies, but I sure ain't going to raise a... Amen. Hope you get up what I said. See, they couldn't play that on the internet, praise God. Amen. Hello. And I say, well, can I wear it? They can't. Can I wear it, Daddy? Is it some new tennis shoes? I said, no, you're just going to have to wait. Can I tell you when I pull, if it's not just some godforsaken hour in the night when I pull up, hey, they don't care what ball game's on, they don't care what they're doing at the house, you better believe when they hear that diesel truck come rolling through the driveway and into that garage, here they come. What is it, Daddy, what is it? And can I tell you, that's how it ought to be for us. God has sealed some things that's not going to let us know everything about what it's going to be. And sometimes we wish he would unveil and let us know, but he's hidden some things from us. But can I tell you, there's going to be a day when every mystery is going to be revealed. And thank God we're going to be like the Lord Jesus. It's a hidden mystery. Not only is it a hidden mystery, look at your Bible. Look at the second part of verse 2. There's a holy moment. But we know that when he shall appear, can I tell you, the work of the Holy Ghost in the life of a believer is to make us as much like Christ before he gets here as he can. We've been predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He's knocking us off of us everything that don't look like Jesus. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have a body that don't get sick. Brother Tom, we're never going to go to a doctor over there. And they're never going to shake their head and say, I've done all I can. Them undertakers, they're going to shake our hand. If you're an undertaker, no offense. But I don't like shaking them undertakers' hands at home because I feel like they're measuring me for a box. I told them, I said, bless God, y'all better get a big one. Amen. I said, right before I told him, was one of them talking about me losing weight the other day. I said, don't worry. I said, before y'all carry me out, I'm going to gain as much as I can so I'll be hard to carry, praise God. Are you listening? But I'm going to have a body that'll never die. They'll never sing, "I'll meet you in the morning" again, because I'll be in the morning. Hey, I'm going to be in that place where Squire Parsons said, where my faith's going to end inside. Can I tell you, listen, it didn't say if he shall appear. It said when he shall appear. And I tell you what, neighbor, I'm not looking. I told you all of Hollywood, they're looking to outer space for a UFO. But I'm looking for the Son of God. And it's going to be a holy moment when he comes. Not only is it going to be a holy moment, and not only is it going to be a hidden mystery, but in our text, it's going to be a happy meeting. Look what it said. It said, "And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And who better to testify about as he is? John didn't say as he was. John had seen him as he was, take the children up in his arms and say, "Suffer the little children coming to me." John had seen him as he was, touch a leper. He's the only one in the Word of God ever touched a leper on purpose. You say, why? Because he was so much alive. He was so much God, it didn't matter what touched him. He could not be corrupted. Hallelujah. But can I tell you, he saw him as he was. He saw and let that little woman touch the hem of his garment and her blood disease dry up. He saw him as he was. But when he cast the demons out of those dead devil-possessed people, I'm telling you, he wore him as he was, as he made the blind to see and the lame to walk. But he didn't say we're going to see him as he was. But John knew what he was going to be when he saw him transfigured on the top of that Mount of Transfiguration. He saw him in his glory. And I'm going to see him in his glory. I don't know, some of you youngers may have never seen it like this. But I've seen them old-timers. I seen old Brother Guy, an old preacher, said God got on him some hots one time. He said, "Lord, if you don't take your hand off of me, I'm going to die. I can't take no more." But we're going to see him as we is. And Brother Fox, we're going to be able to take it all. Yeah. Glory to God. I'm going to give you this last one, and I'm done preaching. Verse 1 said he's going to tell us, it whispers to me about who I am. Verse 2 whispers to me about who I will be. But verse 3 whispers to me about what I ought to be. You find me somebody that really believes in the second coming of God, and I'll show you somebody that's got some holiness in their life, and I'll show you somebody that's busy about the work of the Lord. I tell you what, back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s, man, you couldn't hardly go through a month at a church and not hear a preacher preach on the second coming. Seems like the more closer we get to it, I mean, we're living in the vestibule of the coming of Christ. Seems like we ought to preach a little bit more, but you don't hear much anymore, do we? Don't hear much anymore. I give this illustration, and I'm done. God, can I tell you, if you go study a lot of those New Testament references about the coming of the Lord, it's always, listen to, we ought to quit using the prophecy as an excuse. Well, we can't do anything. We're living in the last days. Please find me that verse. Please find me. I'm talking about chapter and verse, praise God. Amen. Well, it's last days. Thank God it's the last days. That's exciting times. Hey, listen to me. Prophecy is more than an escape. Prophecy is an exhortation. When you find it talked about in the Word of God, he's always exhorting us to live better, live right, because he's soon coming. I give this illustration, and I'm done. I want to abide by my time. Dr. R.G. Lee told a story many years ago. He said when he was a boy, he was out on the porch of his house, and his mom, everybody else had gone to town. So he was laying out there on the porch with his on his stomach with his chin in his hands. He looked up at his mom. They were by themselves. He said, "Mama," he said, "what was the greatest day of your life?" And he said, "You know, I thought my mama," he said, "my daddy was a tall, dark-headed man." And he said, "I thought surely mama would tell me what it was that day when daddy told her that he loved her for the very first time." I still remember that. I told my wife I loved her. She said, "Hold that thought. As God is my witness," she told me that. She come back with a preaching tape. I thought, "Dear God, woman, it ain't time for preaching. It's time for some sugar, praise God. Y'all pray for me." Young people, rewind that and erase that, but that was what was in my mind. Amen. Y'all pray for me. It said, is it love or infatuation? I thought, dear God, I just told you I loved you. I got home, I listened to that preaching tape on the way home. I called her up. I said, bless God, I still love you. I don't care what the preaching tape said. R.G. Lee thought his mom would tell him about that, but she didn't. He thought, well, maybe mama's going to tell me about the day that daddy asked her to marry him out there by the gate on the farm. I said, mama didn't say anything about that. I said, I surely thought that mama would talk to me about the day that her and dad had taken their vows. Lasted 50 years, but he said, mama looked at me and said, son, you really want to know what my greatest day was in my life? He said, I sure do, mama. He said, son, you remember when I told you about that your grandfather, back in the Civil War, your grandfather and all the men had been called away, and how I used to work beside your grandmother in the field. Said, we were so poor, we got our salt off the smokehouse floor. Said, we used roasted corn to make coffee. He said, you remember those days? He said, yes, ma'am. He said, you remember how I told soon after your grandfather left? Soon after your grandfather left, the news came back that he was dead. I said, yes, ma'am. He said, yes, ma'am. He said, he told R.G. Lee, said, honey, I never saw your grandmother. She's a strong woman. Said, I never saw her cry in the day. But at night, I'd lay in my bed and listen to her weep at night, wondering why God took her love away. Said, one day, his mother was telling R.G., said, one day I was a little girl, and your grandmother was sitting up on the porch breaking beans. He said, out in the distance, a man came walking through the fields and said, honey, that looks like your daddy. And the little girl got up and said, now, mama, I know you miss daddy, and I know you miss him, but mama, I don't want to see you get upset. Now, you know daddy's dead, and he ain't coming home. Mama, don't get upset. And she calmed her down and sat there. And that little lady sat there for a minute, and all of a sudden that bean bucket went. Phew. Beans went everywhere. She said, that is your daddy. And she went skipping through that field and went running toward him. And said, as she got there, she noticed there was a sleeve that didn't have an arm in it. Said, but when she got close to that man, he said, I saw that man reach out with that good arm and pull my mother up too. And they got to dancing around in that field and got to swapping kisses and loving one another. She said, all of a sudden I realized that was my daddy. And she said, I jumped off that porch and went running to him and said, we all three celebrated. And our G. Lee said, dear God in heaven, if a man coming home that they thought was dead, never coming back, would cause that kind of celebration, what's it going to be like when the very God of heaven breaks the eastern sky? It's going to be a wonderful time. And every once in a while, we're young pastors, and every once in a while, we need hope to come by. And just remind us who we are.
Yeah.
And what we're going to be.
Yeah.
And what we ought to be.
Amen.
God bless you. In Jesus' name.